Faith. Thank you so much for joining us today on From Start to Finish podcast with Christina Faith. I am your host, Christina Faith, where we inspire people to live authentically and start and finish their dreams. Thank you so much for listening to the show and enjoy the show. Hey, how you guys doing? This is Christina Faith here with From Start to Finish. Today we have on our podcast Guy Kawasaki. He is the chief evangelist of Canva, a graphics design online service, and an executive fellow at the High School of Business at the UC Berkeley campus. Guy, if you know anything about social media, is the person that you turn to for help, for advice, as well as just to see what he's posting, because he's always posting things that are eye-catching, grabbing attention. And today we had the opportunity to ask him some really cool questions and see how we can partner with him to be able to use social media to all of our advantages. So how you doing, Guy, today?
I am very well. I just played hockey, so I'm in a good mood.
What kind of hockey are you playing? Ice or
ice? Ice, yeah.
Okay. You guys got ice out there. You're in California, right?
Yep.
It's snowing here in Philadelphia, so I'm a little bit upset, you know, that you're not in the snow with me.
You need to move.
Yeah, my husband was talking about that reason. He's like, "This is too cold here. We need to go to California."
Yeah. So your husband is a wise man. Like, listen, your husband wants to move to California and marry you. I mean, what else do you need to know?
You know, he's just incredibly smart, isn't he? He's incredibly smart.
That's all it takes.
That's all it takes, right? So my first question for you is, what was life like before Apple? I am an Apple retail employee. So
you are an Apple retail employee? You work in an Apple store?
I work in an Apple store.
In Philadelphia?
In Philadelphia. I'm an expert here.
Really?
Yeah.
You mean a genius, not an expert.
No. I'm an expert. So I'm an expert on sales. Geniuses are experts on technical. Yeah. So
there's a difference?
There's a huge difference. Not much of a pay difference, but there's a difference in the knowledge that we know. They can take the computers apart. I can tell you what you need for your computer, your phone, your iPad, and that kind of stuff.
Huh. So, well, how do you like that? Cool.
Yeah, right?
Okay. Now, what was the question? I forgot.
What was life like before Apple? You know, because I know you talk a lot about Apple, you know, being a launching pad for you. But what was life like for it? Like, what was your passion prior to getting the job at Apple and then launching out into another career as well?
It was so long ago that I started working for Apple.
Yeah.
That, you know, we just invented electricity. So you're asking, like, what was it like
in the beginning?
Stone ages. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I worked for Apple from 84 to 87.
Yeah.
And prior to that, believe it or not, I spent about 4 or 5 years in the jewelry business.
Okay.
So I worked for a jewelry manufacturer. Uh-huh. And I went from jewelry, shortstop in the software business, and then to Apple.
Okay.
Because I fell in love with the Apple II.
Okay. So, see, that's why I asked that question, because I've always wondered, like, what was your start? So you've always been a salesman. Because if you were in a jury,
more
or less, okay, which is why social media comes easier to you in a sense.
That's why I realized the value of social media.
Okay,
too. Yeah, because it's, you know, it's the ultimate, literally the ultimate marketing tool.
It definitely is. It definitely is. So, what was like your moment of clarity when you realized that?
That social media equals marketing.
Yeah.
Probably when I first saw the power of using social media as a platform, that it's not just, you know, showing pictures where you're drunk or, you know, your reunion or your birthday or whatever, but that you can create followers, you can create value, people will look at what you're promoting, this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I you wouldn't say I'm anti-social, but mm-hmm. I'm not on social media to make more friends.
Okay.
So I have 4 children, a wife, 2 dogs, 1 chicken, 3 guinea pigs, 10 fish. You know, I'm not looking for any more friends. I don't want any more friends. I can barely handle what I have now. Mm-hmm. So social media for me is a platform, mm-hmm. and that's what I use it for.
So from the difference between you using the platform for your new book, The Art of Social Media, that you and Peg Fitzpatrick have done together, and mm-hmm. when you did From Start, you know, The Art of the Start, like,
yes.
how has the social media platform transitioned What are some of the things that you did then that you still do now, or some things that you just would never do now that you did then?
Well, The Art of the Start, if you're referring to the book, mm-hmm. is literally 10 years old.
Yeah.
And 10 years ago, there was no such thing as social media. Mm-hmm. People were barely using email. Mm-hmm. So there was no social media. In fact, this has required me to rewrite Art of the Start. Mm-hmm. So there'll be a new version of Art of the Start in March. Nice. Because 10 years ago, there was no social media, no crowdsourcing, no crowdfunding, mm-hmm. no cloud computing. I mean, everything is different. So I had to rewrite the book. And so the message is that this is a whole new, brave, wonderful world because, mm-hmm. Social media is fast and free and ubiquitous. Mm-hmm.
So what are some key things that you've done with the Art of Social Media that has influenced you to do, the Art of the Start over? Like, can we get a taste of some of the things that you had to transition from?
Sure. Well, back then, 10 years ago, when you wanted to do marketing, guess what you did? You paid for it. Mm-hmm. You bought ads and you paid for, end caps in stores and all this kind of stuff. And now, because of social media, which is essentially free, unless you're stupid and you have to hire an agency, mm-hmm. but essentially it's free. So this is very, very empowering for entrepreneurs, man. I don't see how it can get much better. And so that has forced me to change the book, because before I was talking about advertising and promotion and PR, and now I'm saying, okay, throw all that out, and this is what you need to do. You need to build a social media platform.
This young lady right here is a finisher. This is Natalie Lauren off of her EP, Cliff Notes. This is just a collection of songs that she's written for other people that didn't get picked up. So she said, hey, I'm going to record them and put them out for everyone else to hear about love. This song is called Love Is On My Mind. So in The Art of Social Media, you talked a lot about strategy. Where do you think that a lot of us go wrong in our strategy of building our platforms?
I think that people are at two extremes. One is social media is social. It's, mm-hmm. It's only about your friends and relatives. And so they don't use it as a marketing platform. At the other extreme, people see it only as a marketing platform. So all they do is pimp their stuff. Mm-hmm. And, where you need to be is more in the middle, that mm-hmm. it has some element of socialism, I guess, mm-hmm. But it's not pure promotion. Mm-hmm. And because I like to tell people to think of themselves as NPR. So NPR constantly provides great content. Mm-hmm. This means that they have earned the right to run the pledge drive. Mm-hmm. But imagine if they didn't produce great content and they ran the pledge drive. No one would ever listen to NPR. Mm-hmm. So your job is to provide such great content that people not only tolerate your pledge drive, which could be, you know, your book or whatever, but also they buy the book.
Mm-hmm. So it's really important that you have good content that makes people want to even listen to what you have to say.
But that is that's it in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, again, imagine if NPR didn't have great content.
We wouldn't need them.
We wouldn't need them. In fact, you would be pissed off with them, right?
Yeah.
They'd be like filling your radio waves with crap. So that's the key. That's it in a nutshell. You don't even need to buy the book anymore. Just post great and that's it.
Very much so. That's one of the things, like, you know, when reading the book, you kind of like, it's extremely direct. And then you and Peg, you do the checklist. And I was really surprised that, like, if you're a strategic person that needs step by step, like, the art of social media is definitely telling you the step by step. Like, this is how you do it. And then at the end, you tell us how to put everything together. But I wanted to know, what's the difference between getting on a platform early when it comes out, and then, for example, Facebook, like now they use EdgeRank, and no one knows what to post at this point. They don't even know what to post. Like, honestly, like I'm at the point where I'm about to write like an open letter to Facebook, because it's like, if people follow you, I really agree with what you said in the book. If people follow you, they want to see what you have to say.
Right. So why is only 5% seeing it?
Yeah.
Listen, if you can figure out the answer to that,
you'd be a rich woman.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in a sense, the answer is obvious, right? Yeah. So, well, it's depending on how pessimistic you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to be very little pessimism, then you say, well, Facebook realizes that people have followed hundreds of people.
Mm-hmm.
And if hundreds of people are each posting, let's just say, 2 times a day, you know, that's 200, 300, 400, 500 posts in your timeline a day, you'd get swamped.
Mm-hmm.
So we're using our magical formula to figure out of all the posts that you do, you know, who should see which ones.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the optimistic way of looking at it. The pessimistic way of looking at it is, so few people see what I post, I need to promote my post by paying Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And my logic is, so let's say that, you know, 500 people followed me, right? And so they have volunteered to see everything I post, right? And so if I post too much, or if I post stuff they don't like, they can unfollow me. I'd rather they make the decision. Imagine you're an advertiser and you advertise on the Super Bowl, right? Because you think, 1 billion people are watching the Super Bowl, so I'm going to run an ad. I'm going to pay the fees and all that, right? And then the network who's running the Super Bowl says, well, you know, yes, 1 billion people are watching the Super Bowl, but we're going to pick the 50 million that really have interacted with your brand in the past, who have shown that they liked you, you know, whatever. So, yeah, 1 billion people are watching the Super Bowl, but only 50 million are going to see the ad, and we're going to decide who. I mean, you know, you'd have to definitely scratch your head at that one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, that analogy kind of breaks down because you're paying to run your ad. So you have the expectation that all 1 billion people.
Mm-hmm.
And with Facebook, we're not paying to use Facebook. So in a sense, we've been invited to Facebook's party and it's free. So who are we to complain?
Definitely. Definitely. I completely agree and hear you on that one. All right, let's get into our next song with Brittany Wright. I Won't Stop Loving You. I love this song. I love this album, Fight For You, off of her second album. You definitely need to go check that out.
Yeah, seen it, I never thought I'd believe it. In a billion years, I cried a million tears, but still here now. And now that I've cried forever, I look and see everything that they meant to destroy me lying before me. Let me set the record straight, set the record straight. That's when they start looking up, instead of giving up and screaming when you pick the cellie up. Tell me, what was I supposed to do to get a finish track? out, here comes the rain, reminding me that I'm dealing with a lot of pain. It don't even matter who calls the rain.
So as we're in the midst of, you know, learning and discovering how to use specific platforms, what are some of the newer platforms that you're kind of like keeping a bird's eye view on?
I'm not at the leading edge of every social media platform, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
So I am focused on Twitter, Google Plus, LinkedIn, Facebook. And that's it.
Yeah.
Now, Pinterest I also do. So you should throw Pinterest into that list.
Okay.
But, you know, there's Vine, there's Snapchat, there's like, you know, another five, and I can't handle it. I can barely handle what I have now.
Yeah.
But to completely contradict what I just said, if you are not in social media yet and you are concerned about building up a following, the easiest time to build up a following on a service is when the service is young. So, for example, right now on Pinterest, there are some people with the really popular people have, you know, 10, 20 million followers, okay? You're never going to catch them. I don't care how great your pins are. You're never going to catch them. It is just too late. So if the new service starts like Elo, you know, you could jump on Elo because there you're starting on even footing, more or less. And then you, you know, you post as much as you can, and you may be someone who then has 10 million on Elo if Elo succeeds. Now, you know, when Pinterest was young and early, it wasn't guaranteed that Pinterest would succeed. So all of this is a little bit of a gamble. But you know, today, if you said to yourself, well, I'm going to get a huge following on Google+, Facebook, LinkedIn, Pinterest, you know, any of the existing ones, it would be very hard. And the way brands do it is basically they buy their way in. So you can buy followers, right? Which I think is just the most immoral, unethical, stupid, and insulting thing to do. But, you know, someday I'll tell you how I really feel.
Yeah, definitely someday. So my next question is, you know, you always hint at, you know, you have a child, you have children, and you have dogs, and you have a wife. How do you maintain your work-life balance? Like, what does that look like for you? Does doing what you do give you the freedom to have a work-life balance? Or, you know, are you consistently trying to figure out how do I stay present at home even though I'm on social media?
Well, you're assuming I do have work-life balance.
I am.
I'm not so sure that's a good assumption.
Okay.
Well, I am chief evangelist of a company called Canva, right? So I kind of have a full-time day job. But that job is to be out there and to be visible and to spread the word about Canva. So it just happens to, you know, pretty much sink in that when I'm spreading the word about Canva, I'm doing social media. And when I'm doing social media, I'm doing Canva. And when I'm speaking about innovation and entrepreneurship and all that kind of stuff. But I always mention Canva. So that always works. And Canva's headquarters is in Sydney, Australia. So it's not like I'm commuting. And so basically, if I'm not out of town to make a speech, I'm home in my home office. So that helps because I have a commute of, you know, 10 seconds. Not even 10 seconds, 2 seconds. So that helps. And it's not like I have, you know, office hours and people are visiting me and all that. So that's how I do it. And you know what? The secret to my success in life is I just work hard.
This is my power song, guys. When this comes on when I'm at the gym, it puts me in a zone. It's called Maybe One Day by Dre Murray featuring Christian Gray.
Feel like misfortune follows me around. Good is something found every now and again, but usually doesn't make a sound. Instead, I stay bound by challenge and despair. I feel it coming in the air. Everybody stay down.
Maybe it'll pass over us and finally skip town. Blood on the door, just so we can feel safe and sound. But there's a body on the ground. They hit him in his face. They hit him by mistake. They hit him in my place. But I step right over and pay him no never mind. Get on this broad path and slowly avoid the signs. Telling me turn around, but he trying to still shine. Plus I ain't got time, I might chill on the grind. Get it by any means. Rain, sleet, hail, snow, everything in between. For this rush, I am a fiend. I see it and one day I'ma get it. I gotta have it. Not sure what it is, but they say that it's magic.
If every day had rainbows, and if black and white were full of you, to rule this world.
Close, I feel it, I'm so close. Investing my whole heart while hoping it's not a hoax. I see other people with it, they get it, they make a toast. But the toast, they never cease, now they trying to get the most. Using the same yeast, but it seems that their approach leave those at the feast dead on this bread, they all choke. Now I'm asking all of my friends, am I different? They said nope, said I'll end up just the same. So I'm thinking of grabbing rope and leaving myself slain. Won't cause pain to my folks, my family and my friends, cause they love me the most. I work the strain to game, but no hope was found. My one day never came. I'm thinking of leaving town, thinking of leaving earth, cause hurt is what I feel as I curse my very birth and run from being healed. My dog told me to heal, best friend told me to chill, but I wanted it so bad and they said it was real, but it's not. And now I feel my whole life.
With your upbringing, how did that affect the way that you work?
Well, I come from a lower middle class family in Honolulu, Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
I was, the area that I was born and raised in was, it's not a slum,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, like, let's just say it's not in any brochures about visiting Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So, you know, I come from... Yeah, humble beginnings. I wouldn't. Now, don't. I'm not trying to like paint this.
You didn't come from the hood.
No, I didn't come from the hood.
But you didn't come from the penthouse.
No, and
you came from the in-between place.
I came from the in-between place, mm-hmm. and I, you know, I can't paint you this story that I you know, overcame.
Yeah.
Abject poverty, and I like, you know, I landed on in New York with just the clothes on my back in a suitcase, and I, you know, I groveled and whatever. Although, you know, I'm third generation Japanese American.
Yeah.
Two generations ago, that is their story, mm-hmm. but not my story.
Yeah.
So, you know, I didn't have an abusive set of parents, and I had to overcome that kind of stuff. So I don't have all this kind of great, you know, kind of like motivational speaker background. I had a great family life, not rich,
yeah,
not poor.
But humble enough to know that you needed to work for what you had.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the only path, because it sure as it wasn't going to just come with an inheritance. I knew that. Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, it's still a story of passion. It's just not, you know, everybody else's story that I started from nothing, you know. But, you know, you still had a value of a work ethic, which we see today still.
I do.
You do.
I do. I really do. You know, there are people who are smarter than me.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people who work harder than me.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nobody who's smarter and work harder than me.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody.
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 I guarantee you, nobody.
All right, now. Now, you know I love me some Karen Clark Shear. Here is I Made a Choice. This song is so important to us. We got to make a choice to change our life every day and to head forward and finish what we start, guys. Let's get it.
Thank you.
what are some things that you're teaching your children? You know, because that's always interesting.
So I think the best you can do is set a good example.
Yeah.
The talk is cheap.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, I think my kids see that I'm not just watching ESPN all day long, you know. I'm like working all the time. And they see that I travel a lot. Mm-hmm. I do – well, you know, there is a problem that when I travel, sometimes I take them. And as a keynote speaker, you're treated very well, right? Mm-hmm. So they're flying you first class. They pick you up with a limo. They take you to this great hotel. Mm-hmm. You know, you speak back in the limo, back first class, back home. And so my kids have a warped view of what travel is like. And because I have a pretty large following, it's kind of like living at Best Buy, right? Every day is Christmas here. Every day somebody's sending me some phone or some tablet or some something. So they have kind of a warped perspective, but they do see me just working my ass off.
Grinding it out, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I got you. So at least they know it's not free, you know?
Yeah.
You're not giving them the perspective.
I hope.
You hope? We'll see in a couple of years.
Yeah.
So what are you, what is the best question you're asked consistently, and what's the worst question you're asked consistently?
About what?
About anything. You know, we all have those questions that just tick us. So what's the question, for example, in social media that you asked? Now that you got the book out, what's the question that's asked that you're like, didn't you read the book, or why are you asking me that question?
Yeah. The didn't you read the book is probably is a question like, well, how do I feed the content monster? Yeah. Right? Because okay. you have to create or curate content every day. Mm-hmm. And so we have an entire chapter about how to feed the content monster. Mm-hmm. And yeah, if somebody were to ask me that, I would say, you know, can I just like, oh my God. I'll tell you, not with this book, but I'll tell you, because you asked the question, mm-hmm. a funny kind of story. So a lot of times, you've read Art of the Start, clearly, right? Mm-hmm. And so you know that one of the key points in there is that a pitch should have 10 slides, 20 minutes, 30-point font, mm-hmm. right? Okay, so I meet with a lot of entrepreneurs, and they say, you know, guy, I'm a big fan of your writing. I read all your books. I like, you know, Art of the Start is my Bible. And so I'm so happy to come in here and pitch you. And then they open up their PowerPoint pitch, and the freaking thing has like 8-point font, 60 slides, and I know it would take them 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there saying, like, you just told me you read The Art of the Start, and you show up with 50 slides too much, mm-hmm. with a font that's, you know, 22 points too small, mm-hmm. and a presentation that's 70 minutes too long. Besides mm-hmm. that, it's clear that you read my book. Mm-hmm. So that really just like...
just irks you.
That just pickles me, yeah.
I got you. So since we're asking that and you're talking about pitches, what is what's the perfect pitch for you, and what makes you want to invest in a company? Because I also know that one of your key things that you don't want people to do is ask for money right away. You want them to be at their wits' end and then need the money. So what, when someone comes to you, what are you looking for as an investor?
Mostly I'm looking for two guys or two gals or a gal and a guy in a garage, mm-hmm. and they're making a tool that I would use.
Okay. Gotcha.
So, that's kind of my strategy.
Mm-hmm. Very much so, like the Kickstarter strategy in a
yeah.
sense. You know?
And I just hope that I'm not the only psychopath in the world who thinks this way. Mm-hmm.
Well, no, I don't think so. Because at the end of the day, we live in an economy now where you have to want to use it in order for somebody to buy it. It just can't be something, you know, that's just going to take up room on the shelf. It has to
yeah.
add value to us. So completely, completely understand where you're coming from with that.
Okay, absolutely. Okay.
You're a funny guy, man. Yeah. If you had to give, so two more questions. What's your favorite quote? What quote do you kind of like live by that resonates with you all the time?
Okay, that quote would be, some things need to be believed to be seen.
Okay, awesome. And what are one or two of your favorite books? Like, what do you recommend that everyone read besides your own books?
Yeah. So, two books. One is If You Want to Write by Brenda Yulin. It is about, you know, breaking the shackles, mm-hmm. external and internal, that hold you back. Mm-hmm. Not just in writing, but in anything. Mm-hmm. And Influence by Bob Cialdini. Mm-hmm. Great book about social psychology, influence, persuasion.
Awesome. I was actually looking at that book yesterday. So
it's a fantastic book.
That made me want to buy it.
Good.
So so thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day and answering some questions with us. I hope that, you know, what you added will be added to us and we won't just listen to it and, you know, suck up all the content and do nothing with it.
All righty.
So thank you so much for joining me today.
Have a good day, Christina.
You as well, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This album has been on repeat. This is Bethel Music. We Will Not Be Shaken. And yeah, you really need to go buy this album. Have a great day. Thank you for joining us today on From Start to Finish with Christina Faith.
Jesus is greater. you all things.